So paperwork. The office will send the client an agreement, pricing and such for maintenance. The manufacturer recommends intervals of every 6 months, and we ask a lot of questions that some clients, you know, they just don't really understand why all the questions.
There's a lot of questions on there regarding repairs, kind of giving us the okay to kind of fix something on the spot, say like a dead battery or something like that, where we don't have that okay, or we don't have communication with the client during that time for many reasons. If we don't have the proper paperwork signed off and initialed from them that it's okay for us to do necessary repairs or whatnot, I mean, we might have to leave and we might not have what we need. We might have to wait to get an approval. And we're seeing, you know, once something like that happens and we have to leave, I mean, once we're gone, sometimes we might not have an open spot to get back there for a couple of weeks.
I mean, it's kicking during some of these outages.
Yeah, I mean, and I do like to kind of stress it a little bit with our clients, you know, when I see them face to face in training, you know, this is a relationship. You know, we want to be on the same page. Obviously, once we do the startup and everything is rolling on our end, and, you know, we're trying to get everything submitted for maintenance agreements and paperwork, often getting a hold of our clients after the fact where, you know, if they're aware of what we're trying to do and accomplish, you know, as long as we're on the same page and they're looking out for us calling them or checking up, it just makes it a lot easier that something's not missed, that we're both communicating.
Well, even providing a text number, like, please text me and I'll answer you right away for our scheduling department. That's really helpful. Making sure that our email isn't in your spam. Just watching out for communication from us.
These times that are popping up here, you know, if I tell them, shoot us an email. I'd rather have too many emails than not.
Can you tell everyone the difference between a load transfer test and a load bank test?
Yeah, so when we do a transfer test, which we always do during a startup, what that is, it's really checking the operation and the communication between your transfer switch and your generator. So what we do is we technically simulate an outage to make sure everything works, make sure your generator kicks on when it's supposed to, it transfers power, as well as your generator run for the load and make sure it's efficient and it's doing the proper job. On the other end, when you're talking more of a load stress test, that's really when we're really honing in on the generator itself, and we're really wanting to put a real stress and a load and a real work on the engine. We want to test it as much as possible to make sure, one, it can produce what we want it to produce, and it can handle, you know, the stress we put on it. In turn, we do a lot of this on a lot of diesel engines that really helps prevent like wet stacking and really clear out the exhaust system and that. There's also sometimes we'll suggest it on some of our gaseous units as well. Really kind of testing the generator and isolating it on that end to making sure it can handle what it needs to.
Right, so load bank is a stress test.
Yeah, load bank is a stress test.
And I know some people don't want us to do a load transfer when you simulate an outage sometimes because it puts their, you know, their automatic mini blinds off schedule, or it makes their microwave blink and such, but it is really important, don't you think?
It's really important. And I mean, honestly, I will, if I'm there, I will talk them into letting me do that. If we cannot do that, because this is such a big part of watching the whole system go full circle, and there's multiple things that we need to see in the transfer, multiple things that are happening that, you know, and I've been to places where we couldn't, you know, because it's during business hours and they can't lose it, and we totally understand that, but
right, and can they do it themselves?
That is fine, but it's not what I would suggest.
Okay.
And saying that is, I have people do it after the fact, but I also know everything is the way it should be, where they're doing it themselves before I can have my eyes on it and do it. What happens if they do it and then something's wrong?
Right,
I'm not
right,
there.
Right.
And that's what I'm worried about.
Let's talk about schedules and that whole exercise cycle.
What we do, and kind of what our normal thing for our generators, and which all these generators have, is they have an exercise cycle, and it can be set either weekly or bi-weekly, and that's efficient enough for the generator. But this is really starting the generator up, letting it run without a load, meaning no power, does not affect your house, your power, or anything. All this is doing is signaling the generator to start, exercise for about 20 minutes, and then cool down and turn off. it's such an easy way to kind of stay ahead of any problems or issues with your generator. Let's say we're setting it for a Tuesday and it's every other Tuesday and you hear it exercising, that's great. The time you don't hear it on that Tuesday, you want to make sure that's the right Tuesday. But if it doesn't exercise, that's, you know, your key. Something's not right. Something might have happened. The main objective of this is if you're watching that and you're following your exerciser and something does happen, we're going to catch that, or you're going to catch that before we have a big outage or before we have an emergency. So we're handling the issue before there's a bigger issue when you need it.
Now, some of your clients have limitations with going and checking this generator. You know, it's hard for them to walk out down the hill to check their generator. They can't hear the exercise cycle. How have you addressed that?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing, I mean, everyone's situation is going to be different. But I think after, you know, I speak with them and I educate them, I want them to have the full picture. And if that is the case, then, you know, they should have a plan. You know, their neighbor, or if they have someone that does their property, or a property manager, or whatever the case may be, a family member.
Gardener.
Gardener. Have a plan prepared so you're not fighting it when it happens.